We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Lucky Lefty Podcast. The Anora boys are in the building. Brought to you by Anora Whiskey, AnoraWhiskey.com. And it's that premium American whiskey, AnoraWhiskey.com. And if you drink, by all means, make sure that you drink
responsibly.
Definitely got to drink responsibly. Today, a lot of things to talk about, Left. We're going to have some fun in the second half of the show, and we're going to produce our own 2023 Notre Dame football trailer going into the spring. We're going to tell you what we feel like should be in the trailer to get get the team hype, get the fan base hype, get recruits hype. We're going to talk about that, have some fun. And then Left, this dude, he has an off-season plan for every quarterback on the Notre Dame roster.
That's right.
Can't wait to hear what this is.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Coach Lee, we're going to talk about this article in The Athletic where it talks about the five-star recruiting debate. Just how important is it? How impactful are five-star recruits first year to second year? How does that relate to Notre Dame? Because when we go down to five-star recruits from the class of 2022, Notre Dame has one in there. But you'll be interested in seeing some of these numbers from these five-star recruits, Left. Talk a little Justin Scott. Had an opportunity to talk with the young man last night after his basketball game. Another double-double for the young man.
What, you want to be Glenn Davis?
He is literally the high school version of Big Baby. He is. Like, he's the type of disrespectful guy that you play that you want to punch. Right? Because he doesn't like scowl or anything. He just smiles at you. Like you talk trash to him, he just smiles at you. You push him, he smiles at you. Right? And I see kids like, and it's so funny because the kids that play against him know who he is. You know what I mean? From a football standpoint. Like they're playing basketball, but they know like, oh, he's a big deal. And you can tell. So like when they score a bucket on him, they always have something funny to say. And I'm like, he's not a hooper like that, dude. Like, you act like you just scored back down Kobe or back down LeBron and scored over him. But it's funny because just the way he reacts and his personality, man, he's really a good kid. So I had to talk to him about 10 minutes after the game. A couple of tidbits I'll give away from that. Well, I'm going to start right here, dude. First of all, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CFB Nation in conjunction with Irish Breakdown. All of our great content, John Garcia Jr., State of Recruiting. You already know, it's the Lucky Lefty Podcast. We spin it different.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mel Kiper comes out with his mock draft. For the first time in a while, Notre Dame is being projected to have two first-round picks in the NFL draft. One of these picks, if they go the way he projects, might actually save a quarterback's career and legacy. I'm going to keep it funky. The other one would be a welcome addition to an already stout defense. Quarterback's questionable at this point in his career. Who the heck is going to coach this young man?
That's right.
But he projects Michael Mayer to go 15th to the Green Bay Packers. Now, I'm here in Chicago. There's plenty of Notre Dame fans here in Chicago that are also Bears fans. Do you understand how painful it would be in this city to see Michael Mayer go to Green Bay?
But you got to balance it out with Cole Kmet. And then you got Brock Wright in Detroit.
No, that's not balancing. We can trade Cole Kmet to Green Bay, and then we can take Michael Mayer. That's not balancing it out. There is no balance to that, bro. That Michael Mayer is the decidedly better tight end of the bunch. But you're right. You're right. The NFC North would literally be Notre Dame tight end you.
Yeah, in the Notre Dame conference.
In the NFL, in Notre Dame conference. You're absolutely Detroit, right. That's a good
Green
call.
Green Bay, left. Potentially. Chicago got all the Notre Dame players.
That's facts.
So it's like, you know, who's left? The Vikings? We had Kyle Rudolph there for a minute. Harrison Smith's there. So they got Alabama's, I think, tight end. I don't know. But Notre Dame, we in there with tight ends.
Who, the Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
No, the Urban. Vikings have they just traded for the kid that came from he was with the Lions, and he got traded to the Vikings. Mm. I'm trying to think of what college he went to. Was it Iowa?
What was his name? Hawkinson, T.J. Hawkinson.
Yeah, T.J. Hawkinson. Yes. Yeah. That's what I thought, from Iowa. That's what I thought. So, yeah, he just got there. So, you know, man. It's interesting. Because Notre Dame fans in this area have rooted for this man for years, and for them to have to deal with him for the next 10 to 12 years in the division and that rivalry,
Cole gonna balance out once Justin Fields, you know, like the people at the gas station say, just get the accuracy just a little bit better.
We love you, dude.
We love you, bro.
Man, you dope.
You're gonna be here for a long time.
You just need to work on that accuracy just a little bit.
I wouldn't even fill up my gas there, man. I just get in the car and go to
the next. I mean, dude, it's the closest station to the stadium. It's the closest station to the stadium.
I'll get it after work.
See, that lets us know that Justin is one of those dudes. He should have gassed up on his way to the stadium.
That's right. At home.
Right. Out in the burbs. Right? But he's one of those dudes that waits for everything to get to like 20 miles to empty.
Yeah, yeah. You're a professional. You got money now. You got to act like it. You know.
Now, I can't front. I drive the missus crazy doing that crap.
Why are you taking to about 2 miles?
Dude, I do. Man, I take it to like.
Your thing says get ready to push on there.
Look, man, if I'm coming back from somewhere and that bad fella says 30 miles to empty, as long as I get home, bro. As long as I get home.
See, you can't get no Tesla.
No.
You could be stuck like Chuck. You're going to be stuck like Chuck. And you know it take about an hour for that thing to get charged up.
Man, I have to apologize so many times, especially when baby girl is home. Well, we got two, but we have three drivers. Well, baby girl comes home. She wants to get out, be gone, kick it with her friends and stuff. I come in, nighttime, don't fill it up. The missus has to jump up early in the morning and go somewhere. She starts up the car. That bad fella's on E. She's heated. She is heated. So I'm trying to get better, bro. I'm trying to get better. Lucky Lefty Podcast. So 29th in his projections, Isaiah Foskey goes to the Denver Broncos. Defense is already stout.
Yeah. I think he'd be going to a great situation where it'll probably be same. He'll learn under a guy with Chubb there. And who's the other DN that's pretty good? They got two monsters out there. But whoever's on the other side, he'll learn for a couple years, and then he'll be right in line. I think he fits what they're doing over there in Colorado. But more importantly, he's in a good organization. They just got new management. They're the richest team in the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to be taken care of in the right spots. Because they're going to get a quarterback eventually, for sure.
Man, you know, Josie Jewell, who was a beast at Iowa. Baron Browning, both of those guys had fantastic years. Of course, Patrick Surtain, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons. That secondary is really, really good.
Patrick Surtain's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, they said Chubb got traded, but still, they always have a really good defense. Their defense is what could have got them into the playoffs if Russell Wilson scored over 13 points a game.
Yeah. And they played a 3-4, which, you know, fits right with the skill set of Isaiah Foskey.
Oh, for sure. Pass rush central.
Yeah. Good enough to drop.
He's not that much of a run stopper anyway. I mean, I wouldn't use him that way. You know.
Yeah.
Get after the quarterback.
I didn't realize how good of a season Josie Jewell had. I knew he was really good at Iowa. Mm. But him and Baron Browning really stepped up. And then Deshaun, you know, Williams up front. That 3-4 front, it's all about the linebackers, right? Similar to like the Lloyd-Kevin Green combination when they with the Steelers, where you can really get some underrated, really good guys to play on the line and just have them stuff up blocks and let your linebackers just wreck havoc.
I mean, that's what made us good in 2012. What made Manti a Heisman candidate, having Nicks to it and Shuko up front.
Yeah. Johnny S said, when the red light comes on, how many miles do you have left? I don't think a red light comes on. Oh, you talking about
the car?
Well, every gas tank, even if it says empty on the digital reader, there is a reserve in each tank, depending upon the tank, of like 5 to 7 miles. So even if it hits zero, and I'm not telling people to do this, please don't do this. Please don't do this. I'm just giving you facts. Please do not take this and say,
I'm just
oh, man,
what's on the car manual.
Right, right.
You have you a know. 5 to 7 range.
Yeah, yeah.
When you on red.
Yeah, when you're on red, that's like a reserve. There's a reserve in the tank of like 5 to 7 miles. So, yo, it's not the brightest thing to do, but I'm just answering the question. Mm. I know once it gets under 30 miles in my vehicle, it's pretty, man, they start, man, I get like notifications like every 2 miles. Like, dude. Like, facts, like, come on, man. You tripping. So, all right, man, look. All of this, I'll say this. Left for me, I was doing evenings when I was producing at Espen. So, you know, I'm walking out of the studio. We have a show, but then let's say, man, I was producing for a few years there. I was producing Notre Dame basketball games, right? So I would produce a Notre Dame basketball game, then do a show that would end, a live show that would end at 10, and then I would go into whatever NBA game was on the network from the West Coast.
Oh, you're talking.
Right. So it's like Lakers, Clippers. So now I'm bored off in that game. Right. And that game finishes up at like 12:30. And then I'm locking up and making sure everything is cool for the morning show because I'm the last one there. So I'm walking out of the studio at like 1 a.m. And I'm looking like, yo, it's 50 miles. Like, man, I'm not stopping. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. No, I'm going home. I'm going home. So when you make that decision, I understand, man. You know? And I could have stopped downtown. Hey, so the article I talked about, Manny Navarro, has just hit me back. This is why I love, man. Manny Navarro just hit us back. He's going to join us coming up in about 25 minutes to talk about 5-star recruits. That's what we do on Her Lucky Lefty, bro. You know what I'm saying? We don't just talk about it. Let's go get the dude, you know? And he said he was happy to come on today. So he'll come on in 20 minutes so we can really break down the 5-star recruits. Hey, Roderick, look, man, it's situational, bro. It's not an everyday thing. It's situational. I got to get better at situational husband. You know what I'm saying? I got to improve on my situational husband. I got to improve on my third down husband.
That's right. That's you know right. What I'm saying? Just rearrange some of the
calls. Yeah. That's all. I'm good.
Slight adjustments, you know.
Adjustments. You know, I'm not good at third and long when it comes to my husband.
Can't get behind. You know what I'm
saying? I got to improve on this.
Not right. Too many things you can call when you're that far behind the sticks. So,
right. I got to stay ahead of it. You know what I'm saying?
So second and like, first downs where you really want to live, make your money at.
And see, I'm a full dude. Now, on the counter of that, I don't play that filling it up halfway.
Yeah.
Like when I stop.
I'm stopping to fill it.
I'm filling it all the way up. Right. I don't do that, man. Give me 20 on number 5. Knowing that 20 is going to give me like a quarter of a tank. I don't do that.
Because you don't like to stop to do it in general.
Thank you.
So it almost makes sense to let it get to the teeny, weedy, beady left. Because then you're like, okay, yeah, because I have to go get it. And then I'm going to hit the fool, and then I don't have to think about it.
Now, see, my missus, she will be honest. My missus will constantly stop and won't allow it to get low, but she's always doing the give me 20 on five. Give me 20. And I'm like, dude, you keep doing 20 like every 2-3 days. Like, man, just fill the bathtub up and ride out.
And ride out.
And fill it up again.
So you probably beat inflation because you was at full tank and it lasted so long, they probably dropped the prices back down.
Facts.
Your wife dealing with the inconsistencies in the prices because she every 2 days, you know, it's week to week how it's changing.
Facts. So, look, which one do you think is a better landing spot? That's what I want to ask you. Which spot is a better landing spot in your opinion? Denver for Foskey or Mayer going to Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers might not even be that left.
I think just because of the Michael Mayer archetype, he'll be good in Green Bay, Wisconsin. No matter what quarterback's there, I think he has the ability to have a strong career in a market that would love Michael Mayer at that tight end spot. And he's really good.
Dude, man, he would be a legend.
He'll be the Bart Starr tight ends.
Bro, he would be a legend in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Legend.
Nice slam dunk. And Matt LaFleur, having Notre Dame experience, will probably know how to feature the tight ends and knows the importance of the type of player he's getting and how he can incorporate that into what he's doing. So it's a very nice fit. If I'm Michael Mayer, what a great career to get put in all the right positions. For Foskey, it'd be nice, but you know, Denver's not that good right now. So, you know, a lot of turnover can happen, and until they get a quarterback, it's not going to change.
Lucky Lefty Podcast. Look, I think Foskey, for what he does, has tremendous value because of the division he's in. That's tremendous value. What's tremendous value on the ability to rush the passer?
Yeah, in general.
In general. But I'm going to be honest with you, man. Especially
Michael Mayer is going to have a better career, though, because he's going to be in the – as long as he's in Green Bay, and he's probably going to be there a long time.
Well, I'm going to tell you now. If Aaron Rodgers comes back, bro, hey, dude, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback in Green Bay next year, Michael Mayer is catching 80 balls.
Yeah, easy.
Easy. Easy. Easy. And you see the emergence of Christian Watson in the second half of the season on the outside. Dude, he might save Rodgers' legacy.
I mean, up in that joint. He did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, dude, but I mean, he won a Super Bowl. Is that what he wants to be known as? The dude that was a one-off?
Brett Favre only won one.
Like I said, does he want to be known as a dude that was a one-off that stole money from poor people?
Brett Favre don't have as many MVPs as Aaron Rodgers, but in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Favre is the man.
I agree.
Rodgers gonna be straight, you know.
Yeah,
because of where he's at, and I think Michael Mayer is gonna fit right into that fan base very well.
So, how do you feel about that? When's the next time Notre Dame is gonna have 2 first-round picks in an NFL draft? Right? Could it come from the 23 class? Could it come from the 22 class? You know, could it be Benjamin Morrison and someone that takes a step up?
It's going to be very interesting year for Ben Morrison to get that first round potential this year. Mm-hmm. And then because of what Notre Dame is and who we are as a program, we'll have another one. We, you know, it's just a matter of who.
No, that won't be a question. They definitely, heck. Coming into the season, we were projected to have 3.
With Cam.
No, Brandon.
Oh,
coming into the season, B. Joe.
Not after he came through our podcast. I'm like, he's not gonna make it.
Left. You have to have a forgiving heart, man.
Not the way he went about it. I'm just like, oh yeah, he's not first round. Because he wasn't seeing the bigger picture. You see what I'm saying? The bigger picture was, this is the gate. We the gatekeepers. You know, you at the gate talking about, I don't know, you know, y'all paying me to come in. Who does that? Wasn't thinking the bigger picture. That's what T.I. tells Shannon Sharp. He said is, don't worry about the money up front. Because it's always going to be bigger in the back end.
Yeah, I'm glad Unk admitted he was on that stuff, on that sauce. It was obvious. He was on that sauce.
Well, the man got his own liquor company.
Yeah, and a shout out. Legacy named after his grandmother. I love it. Let's talk about the top 10, and then we'll move on, right? Because we talked about Mayer and Foskey. Hey, the top 10. I know we have a bunch of Bears fans that watch us every day. I don't know how they feel about Jalen Carter going at number one. I just, without a trade, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Would you take Jalen Carter over Will Anderson?
Will Anderson, I need him. But y'all don't know what to do with great pass rushers. Look at how y'all treated Khalil Mack.
What do you mean? We gave him the biggest contract, made him the highest paid defensive player. What do you mean? How do we mistreat him?
Y'all didn't support him when he most needed it most.
No.
Look how they did Aaron Donald. They gave
this is how you can have everything in place, and one decision ruins everything. No. Facts. They made the move for Khalil Mack because they thought they had their quarterback. Now, if you couple the Khalil Mack move with Patrick Mahomes, this is a totally different story.
Totally different story, yeah.
Totally different story. The fact that they coupled the Khalil Mack move with Mitch Trubisky just ruined everything, big picture.
Yeah, it's just a bad combination.
It just ruined everything. So that's pretty much what it was. Second, C.J. Stroud has become QB1 now, bro.
I mean, duh. I don't know why we even entertain this Will Levis garbage.
Will Anderson goes 3. Stroud goes to the Texans. Will Anderson goes to the Cardinals at 3.
Wait, Bryce Young. Are that bad? They're number 3 pick? Good.
Well, you know, they lost the quarterback early in the season.
Oh, and conveniently, J.J. Watt retires, so right. they just happen to edge rusher.
They could be open for a quarterback. They did just give Kyler that money, though.
Yeah, Kyler's in control.
But it's a new coach coming in. You never know.
Kyler's in control for at least the first 2 years.
Bryce Young to the Colts at 4.
See, I think the Colts want Will Levis.
Hmm. Seahawks at 5 take Will Levis. I thought Geno played pretty good.
They writing him off again. That's crazy.
Defensive end Tyree Wilson goes 6 to the Lions. Pete Skoronski from Northwestern, offensive tackle, goes 7th to the Raiders.
Man, Northwestern put them first round boys in.
Every 2-3 years, they do produce offensive
line. Oh, no, it's been more frequent than the 2-3 years. It's been damn near been every year.
Well, you know, Illinois, historically, if you look at it from an NFL standpoint, produces a lot of offensive line.
Wait, who?
The state of Illinois.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this college.
No. Now, Illinois has a long list of offensive linemen too, bro. Hmm. So, the history's there. Anthony Richardson is in the top 10, bro.
It's not a strong quarterback class this year. Next year it is.
I think the top 2, in my opinion, when you have two strong quarterbacks,
top 2, and then it's everybody else.
They pull the other ones up a little bit higher than what they would normally go. And then Kalia Kansi, defensive tackle, goes to the Eagles. The Eagles have a top 10 pick and might be in the Super Bowl. That's bananas, bro.
Oh, because of the trade.
Yeah.
Top 10 pick. Who would they even get?
What do you mean?
Who would the Eagles even want to get? They got a pretty solid team.
Dude, they have a running back. They got a quarterback. They got an offensive line. They got receivers. They probably would go get they got a good defensive back right there.
Yeah, you can never have too many good DBs.
Never. That probably would be a need for them.
Maybe a tight end.
They got Goddard.
They got who?
They got Dallas Goddard. They traded for him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so they have a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, they have him in the corners, though.
They say, dude, they got good DBs.
They can never have too many corners, though.
Or I wouldn't be mad if they went offensive line.
Yeah, Lane Johnson
did get hurt. Heck, they got, dude, everybody on their defensive line has 10 sacks. Everybody. They have 70 sacks as a team.
Damn.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Like, they're going crazy.
You can always add depth.
Like, if we had something like that at Notre Dame.
Bro, can you imagine that? Every dude on the defensive line has double-digit sacks. Every starter. That's the dumbest thing.
These are like, what, 5 or 6 sacks a game for that to happen.
Yes.
Because you got, yeah. Damn.
4 sacks, minimum 4 sacks a game.
Minimum. Oh, you're minimum. Getting the guy on the ground.
Yes.
Wow.
Speaking of defensive lines, we talked about this yesterday in the can or can't said Notre Dame. Can Notre Dame get 3 5 stars in one recruiting class, bro?
If we win a championship.
That's the missing ingredient. That's the missing ingredient. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We have to find a way to do it without getting those. Once again, Manny Navarro from The Athletic joins us in about 5 minutes. I'm sorry, he just texted me. Ready in about 5 minutes. I'm interested. You want to go over the article, bro, and tease it? So there were, according to his rankings, 34 five stars in the class of 2022. Mm. 34. Travis Hunter was number one. And let me just give you the numbers. Since 2016, 43% of five stars started at least one game as a true freshman, with 1 in 5 starting more than 6 games in their first college season. By year 2, 78% have cracked the starting lineup, and 52% are starting at least half of their team's games. So it's fair to say 5 stars are important, right? Which I don't like when people like, man, you have to get 5 stars to win. On what level is it not key to get the best players to win in any sport? Let me know. Like, people think they're, recreating the wheel, or they came up with something new. You can't win without 5 stars. Look, dude, you can't win without great players on every level of every sport. It is what it is. Travis Hunter, he transferred to Colorado, but he's still with his same coach. Walter Nolan, 4 starts, 289 snaps. Had 29 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss. Luther Burden, wide receiver from Missouri, started 10 games, 535 snaps, 45 catches for 375 yards. Mikael Williams, we saw him make a difference in the national championship game and the college football playoff. Defensive end from Georgia. He only started two games, played 410 snaps. 4.5 sacks, 6.5 tackles for loss. Damani Jackson, man, he played in one of the worst defensive backfields at USC. Like, they were all awful. Everybody. Right? Cade Klubnik. One start, 225 snaps on offense. Book is still open on what he's going to become. CJ Hicks, who was basically the number one linebacker coming out last year, Ohio State, zero starts, zero snaps. He didn't even play. Harold Perkins. Now, Harold Perkins, to me, production-wise, was probably the dude of this class. Eight starts, 514 snaps, 7.5 sacks, four forced fumbles, and one interception. He's a dude. You'll see him shaking hands with Roger Goodell in a couple of years. Shamar Stewart, defensive lineman from Texas A&M, six starts, 416 snaps. Not a lot of production, 1.5 sacks. DJ Campbell from Texas. Evan Stewart, Texas A&M. He had eight starts. And I go down the list, Sonny Styles, zero starts, 69 snaps. Zach Rice, zero starts, backup and guard. LT Overton from Texas A&M. Will Johnson. Now, here's another one. Will Johnson, another three and done. And it's Will Johnson and Benjamin Morrison that are going to be vying for best defensive back from that 22 class when it comes to, like, draft evaluation. Because he, man, second half, he started five games, really came on. He was that best man-to-man defender. True freshman at Michigan out of Detroit. Josh Connolly Jr., offensive tackle from Oregon, didn't start. My point is, Malachi Starks is another one that jumped out. He started every game as a true freshman down at Georgia. Now, here's the thing. I can stop short. Because we can go down the list of five stars, and I'm telling you, the majority of these guys didn't even start or get snaps. These are the five stars from last year. But I see a trend of the Georgia kids. I vividly remember them making an impact. Now, did they make an impact because of the program they went to? Now, this is important. Is it the talent, or is it the talent going to the right place? Because there are tons of kids that I'm going down that didn't even play, start, whatever, but they're five stars. But the three kids I said that went to Georgia, they all made an impact. So you can have five-star talent. You still need coaching and development. And people just think you just throw five stars out there and just win games. That's not how it works.
Not how it works.
A defensive lineman or a safety going to Kirby Smart, that matters. That matters. They make more of an impact. Alabama had four guys on this list. None of them played, bro. Connor Wegman. Now, Connor Wegman for Texas A&M, at the end of the year, this is what we say about quarterbacks. If you are a quarterback, you have to be ready to start a game by November as a true freshman.
That's right.
Texas A&M struggled all year. Connor Wegman came in as a five-star and stabilized that whole situation. They came up with some big wins down the stretch in November at Texas A&M. Connor Wegman looks like he could be a dude. He started four games. So, Marvin Jones Jr., five-star left. Georgia didn't play. But I fully expect to hear his name this year.
Yeah.
I fully expect to hear his name this year. Ty Simpson. Now, this is important. Ty Simpson was a five-star, right? Quarterback at Alabama. He's not even guaranteed to get the starting job at Alabama.
Nope.
Jaheim Singletary, cornerback, five-star, Georgia. 13 snaps on defense. He's in the portal, Lef. There are a lot of narratives and stories that can come from getting top talent, getting five stars.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the day, Lef, somebody has to coach them.
Somebody.
And they have to go to the right situation. Now, to be honest, it's easy for a five-star to consider Georgia the right situation. It's easy for a five-star to consider Nick Saban in Alabama the right situation. My question to you, Lef, what is it going to take for five stars to consider Notre Dame the right situation?
A lot of that is winning, and winning at a frequent rate. At a frequent rate, say that five times fast. I think being able to be dynamic in these wins. I mean, not only is, for instance, Alabama winning, but they're producing players in the first round that you hear throughout college football news all year. You hear about Devontae Smith. You hear about a Jalen Waddle. You hear about a Bryce Young. You hear about a Will Anderson. Alabama had the best two players in college football.
Yeah.
Will Anderson and Bryce Young. Amidst all the great things in college football, all the great programs, Georgia, you know, all of that. The two best players, offense and defense, in the country was at Alabama. So when you win at a high level and build something similar, have consistent coaching, I think Marcus Freeman is going to be there a long time because his recruiting strategies are great. So I think his teams are going to be a result of that. Great. Mm-hmm. I do believe that once that he can get past that five-year mark, and staying above 10 wins and being in the playoffs and the champ, win a championship maybe once or twice, definitely once, but twice in the first 5 years, you'll start to see an influx of five stars being more current. Because if you're doing that, you staying above 10, 11 wins, got two championships in the first 5 years, that means you're recruiting at a high level, you're coaching at a high level. And you got guys in New York and winning these awards at the end of the season.
Man, look. It was just interesting looking at this. The one thing that stood out is the second year is the most important year. Like, you have rarities, right? Your Travis Hunters. You know who else is on this list that I forgot? He's right there with Harold Perkins and Nicholas Singleton from Penn State, the running back.
Oh, yeah, he's nice. He's nice. Yeah.
Instant impact. Right. So basically, if you have 34 kids, we mentioned about 4 to 5 guys that had immediate impact. The rest of these guys have to be developed, and it takes time. And it's based upon the schools they go to and the coaches they're connected to.
Yeah, the fit is everything. Absolutely. Eli Singleton at Penn State's a great fit. You know,
why is that, Lef? Like, please break that down.
Big program. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year. All the accolades. Penn State needed a running back. Penn State's a huge program, great media presence. They're always in the midst of being a great team, getting out of that three-tier, being a two-tier. A kid with that much talent can go in there and fit right away. You can tell there's an obvious need of a run game for Penn State during that time. And his impact was immediate because the fit was needed. They needed a run game to support Sean Clifford that was overhyped and is overhyped. Penn State usually has a pretty good offensive line. And you're in the Big Ten where running backs usually are successful, i.e. Ohio State running backs are usually successful with a good offensive line. Michigan's running backs are usually pretty successful to go offensive line. Every running back that's ever been through Wisconsin benefited from a run of a really good offensive line. So all things included, him going to Penn State was a great fit because it was about him.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree.
Because it's talent. So sometimes you got to go where it's about you.
Lucky Lefty Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, CFB Nation in conjunction with Irish Breakdown, all of our great content. Leave 5 stars. We would greatly appreciate it. Leave your comments because you know we respond to all comments. It's because of ULL Nation that we continue to have the success and growth that we do. Lucky Lefty Podcast, we spin it different.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We are pleased to welcome to the Lucky Lefty Podcast from The Athletic, the author of the context and the information we've been talking about 5-star recruits. Manny Navarro joins us on the Lucky Lefty Podcast. Manny, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. You know, we go down this list and we see Notre Dame had Jalen Snead on the list. And, you know, Notre Dame fans, the reason we want to have you on is have a really great conversation about the concept of the 5-star recruit and the ability to win national championships based upon getting those 5-star recruits to your program. And we understand that Notre Dame is never going to be able to recruit 5-stars to the same level as Alabama, Ohio State, and maybe even Georgia. But they still have to find a way to what Malik talked about, to win. And when you win, now you give yourself more ability to maybe add one or two more to your recruiting class every year. I'm very interested in how you view not only the 5-stars, but the importance of where they go. Because we pointed out the 5-stars that went to Georgia, we saw them make an impact immediately. Yeah. So is it about where you go and the coaches that get a hold of you? Or is it really just about the natural maturation of some guys being a little bit further ahead than the others on your list?
Yeah, I think it's really a combination of factors, right? Like part of it is where those players are in their development, where they're at physically, or you know, how healthy are they in year one? You know, a lot of guys, as you guys know, come into college and they need to have surgery right away because when they were playing high school ball, they were playing through injuries and they were playing with stuff they didn't have surgery for. And then, you know, so that sort of slows down the development of some of those guys when they do enroll in classes. Obviously, enrollment is another issue, right? Some guys are in for spring ball. Some of them come in the summertime or arrive in the fall, just depending on when they can graduate from their high school. So I think all of those things play a factor. But more so, you know, when you look at schools like Georgia and Alabama who continue to just load up on 5-stars every single year, they've kind of got a system in place, right? Like, They're rolling guys in and out early entry into the draft very frequently. So it's almost like they've got the perfect system in place where a guy like Malachi Starks can come into Georgia as a true freshman at the safety position and play with enough elite experienced guys around him where he can get on the field and you can trust him to do his job and not be afraid because he's got a lot of other experienced guys who can help him through the process. So I think all of that plays a factor in how quickly guys see the field. But I was fascinated by that. I spent about a week or two just doing the research, crunching the numbers to figure out, you know, how many guys actually come in and start right away, how many guys actually are a real part of the starting lineup, not just, you know, one game starter, two game starter, but really a part of the process. And as you can see, you know, they do make an impact. Those 5-stars come in and a lot of them do play.
What do you think is the main reason for the big jump from season one to season two with five stars? Like you said, most of them end up starting, I think the numbers were 58% of their games mm-hmm. in year two, and then it grows. And then, of course, you see them matriculate to the NFL, of course. Mm-hmm. But there was a great article on The Athletic this week where it talked about Bruce Feldman talked about yeah. when you look at the all-pro level at mm-hmm. the NFL, it's not necessarily littered with five stars yeah. from high school. So my question, Malik played the game. You talked about crunching the numbers. Is there a mental change that needs to happen along with the physical talent as these young men go through? Do they hit that season of something being an immovable object where they have to force themselves to get over it to where their talent can go to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I think without question, you know, that first year in college for a lot of guys is just a learning year, right? You go in there, you're changing your body physically. Like I said, some guys have surgery, some guys are just putting on weight, getting in the physical shape that they need to be in. So you need that first year. A lot of guys need that first year just to make the mental adjustment to the game, to be able to play the game at the kind of speed that you need to play at so you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's why you see the jump in numbers go up from year one to year two. And why you see so many guys by the time they're either redshirt freshmen or sophomores that they're playing a major role for their team. So I think that's what, you know, that's just the sort of natural progression of the way things work with the five stars. And, you know, I thought Feldman's article, his commentary as well was really interesting. The fact that so many guys on defense, you know, in terms of the five stars are a little bit further along and more impactful. You know, I think he made a great point, you know, in a conversation that I heard him having the other day was that ultimately on defense, it's all about physicality, right? It's all about how strong can you beat the guy in front of you? Can you bring him down to the turf? Can you create the turnover? It's a little different than, you know, maybe being an offensive lineman or a quarterback where, you know, you're growing into your body still, even in college as an offensive lineman or as a quarterback, you're getting adjusted to a new scheme or a new offense. So I think all of that plays a role in some of the development of these guys and maybe why you see more guys on defense, you know, more five stars making the all-pro team, et cetera.
What about or have you ever thought about the interesting thing that all these five stars are going to the same schools? Wouldn't you think that having the ability to be a five star and go literally anywhere, why is it such a heavy concentration on the few schools that a majority of these schools get the five stars? Like Georgia had like 20 the last
yeah.
years, but these five stars can still go to the NFL, even if it was at a New Mexico State or Utah State, you know, one of the schools that's not always in contention, I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of it for these guys is just who do they trust, right? Who's gonna who has the track record of getting guys to the first round? And I think a lot of the elite players, you know, I spent some time at the Under Armour All-American game in Orlando right before it happened earlier this month, and I talked to a lot of the elite kids there about their selection process, and everybody says, well, NIL, right? NIL's got to be a big deal nowadays. Kids are following the money. But if you talk to a lot of the best players and you give them truth serum, or in my case, you let them speak anonymously, right, where they don't have to have their name attached to stuff, a lot of them will tell you they really pick a college because they want the school that can help them get to the NFL, that can help them get on the field the fastest and develop them the most, because they're looking at the big money. They're not looking at the payday, the immediate payday per se, because they know that, like you said, they can go anywhere and get that money. So I think ultimately for those guys, the best of the best, the five stars, they go to the trusted place, the school that they say, well, even if I have a hiccup or something, or I struggle a little in college, Georgia still sends a bunch of guys to the NFL, or Alabama still sends a bunch of guys to the NFL. So I think it's more about that safety net in the back of their mind. Once you build that reputation of being a school that produces a ton of first-round picks and NFL talent, that's just where a lot of guys feel comfortable going.
But, yeah, a guy like Derrick Henry, he could go to UCLA and still be Derrick Henry.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that – what is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, is it the league that important of a signed guarantee, quote unquote, if you're a five star and go to these places? Or is it the talent that the five star has that naturally, like a Derrick Henry or a, mm-hmm. or a Leonard Fournette. I mean, he could have easily went anywhere.
You know? Oh yeah, I mean, the cream always rises to the top, which is why you'll have guys go to small schools and still make it, because if they're the best of the best at their position, the NFL is going to find a way to get their hands on them and bring them in. So, in the end, you know, again, it's more of a choice for a lot of these guys of where do I feel like I have the most confidence going, where even if I mess up, even if I get hurt, something happens to me, these guys will find a way to help me get to the league. And I think that's why a lot of the choices end up being those schools over and over again.
Lucky Lefty Podcast, Manny Navarro from The Athletic joins us right here. We're talking five stars, their importance and their impact. And we're not going to let Manny get away with the fact that we see the pennant and the ibis behind him now.
That's just to let everybody know I'm in Miami, man. That's just to let everybody know I got Giancarlo Stanton from when he was a Marlin. Okay, I cover sports in South Florida. I've been here 25 years, so I got all the teams. Look, I got the Dolphins here. I don't want them to think I'm a Miami homer, but.
There you go.
I got all the little gizmos and free giveaways they give away at the stadium. That's right. That's what I got.
He's also the host of the Wide Right Podcast, which is not a shot at us Notre Dame fans. That's a shot at the other school down there in Florida.
At Garnet and Gold School, yeah.
Absolutely.
We had a little fun with them.
Absolutely. So Jalen Smith was the one Notre Dame guy on the list, and I think he was along the typical progress of most of these guys, which is by the time it hits November, you know, they've gotten better, they're coached up, and they're ready to come in and play. You saw him in the bowl game. He flashed, but you could still see, like, yeah, he still doesn't really know what the heck he's doing, but you see the talent. You see the speed. You see everything that Notre Dame fans were excited about when he committed and when he finally showed up on campus.
Yeah,
boy, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I think that's really more of the natural progression, right? Yeah. Like get to the bowl game, and by then you should be on the field, right? Because especially now with so many guys leaving earlier, holding themselves out of the bowl game so they don't get hurt, it's almost like the perfect scenario. That's when you finally put those true freshmen that you really have high hopes for going into year two. So I thought it was perfectly timed for a guy like him.
Yeah, so when Notre Dame steps on the field – against Ohio State, week five, right? Ohio State's going to have the advantage from a star standpoint when you look at the recruiting. Is quarterback the single most important position to kind of shorten that? Because you look at Dabo.
Yep.
Dabo kind of shortened things by stacking Deshaun Watson with Trevor Lawrence, two five-star quarterbacks. Is that the position that the schools that might not be able to recruit at the level of Georgia and Alabama can kind of shorten that distance and really compete?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, because to me, when you've got a dynamic quarterback who can do things for your offense and put you in positions to pull off upsets like Clemson did with those teams, that's really what it all comes down to. That's sort of an equalizer. But at the same time, too, I would say in today's game, with how many points are being scored in a lot of these games, you need the receiver. I would say the receiver position has become just as important as the quarterback position. You really need those dynamic playmakers. You know, if you got them in the secondary, even better. You know, guys that can cover those receivers. But because the passing game has expanded so much, I would say quarterback and receiver are the two places, which is why Ohio State stays in it. You know, yeah, they've had some great quarterbacks, but the reality is, why is Ohio State in the playoffs so often? They've got tremendous receivers. I mean, what they got going with Brian Hartline right now, year in, year out, that's really special. And there's not a lot of places that are doing what they're doing at Ohio State.
That is why receiver you. That's a fact. You couple that with good quarterback play. And once again, they come into this season not knowing who, whether it's McCord or Brown, but you just believe that one of those guys is going to step up and be pretty good, and he's going to have wide receivers. Like, the wide receiver class they brought in this year is absolutely insane. Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis.
Yeah.
It's just another year of big-time wide receivers, like you said.
Yeah, and I got to know those guys. They played for the South Florida Express 7-on-7 team, you know, which is based out of here in Miami. I went to Vegas and L.A. with them on a couple of trips to watch those guys play. And just another special group of kids, you know, headed into Ohio State to go play that receiver position. They just keep reloading. And again, you know, you mentioned, you know, you were talking previously about why guys pick certain schools. Brandon Innes, I know the University of Miami badly wanted him, and we all know about the NIL deals and the kind of money that Miami's spending to sign some guys. You know, I know he was offered some good money by Miami, and he still picked Ohio State because of Brian Hartline and being coached and going to a program where he could be developed and reach the NFL. And that, again, that's just another example of why guys pick schools and why things end up the way they do.
Ultimately, do you ever see the trend of the five-star being this important? Do you see it staying pat or getting even more important as college football evolves with NIL? We'll see if legislation comes in with the new president of the NCAA and then the expansion of the playoffs. Does that make it easier for other schools to attract five stars? How do you think this is going to kind of matriculate in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I still think the best players at heart are always going to want to go to the place that can help them get to the NFL the best and develop them the best in the superstars and where they can win championships. And right now, you know, there's a small amount of schools that are doing that. Now, if the college football playoff, if that helps change things here in the years ahead where we start getting some different teams playing in the championship, like this year we had TCU, of course, reach it, which everybody was like, wow, you know, a different – it's not Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State, right? It's a different school there. I think the more often that happens, maybe the more, you know, guys might open up their mind. But as long as the NFL draft comes along in April and Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State are dominating, I still think those will be the schools where the majority of the five stars go.
Now, can you explain the five-star plus aspect and how does that even affect recruiting, if at all?
Yeah, I think the whole five-star plus aspect is when you're a consensus five-star by all the recruiting services. And I think, look, you know, like 247, for instance, in my article in The Athletic, I spoke to Andrew Ivins, who's their new director of scouting. And he sort of explained to me their whole methodology of how they pick the five stars, et cetera. Now, they only rank 32. Because there's 32 draft picks, right, in the NFL every single year in the first round. And so that's the formula that they use. But, you know, the composite year in and year out, the number will change. So some years you'll have some guys that qualify for five-star status as a composite, even though, you know, maybe 247 doesn't rank that guy, or Rivals doesn't rank that guy, or On3 doesn't rank that guy as a five-star. So it's a very complicated process, but essentially what you need to know, if you're a five-star plus, that means everybody thinks you're a five-star, and that's how you end up getting that sort
of stuff. That make you like if you was like top 10 in the country, it makes you number one plus or something? Like, how
it just affects schools. Well, I think for the most part, you know, the colleges, while they certainly care about the rankings because it helps them look good, right? Like Mario Cristobal is never going to get up in a press conference and say the recruiting rankings don't matter to him, even though we know deep down inside he wants to be ranked in the top 10 every year as a recruiter. But the reality is, you know, schools don't recruit off of lists. I don't think. I think for the most part, you know, they do their own homework. At least the best schools do. They do their own research, which is why you'll see, you know, a two-star or a three-star who goes, you know, to Alabama, you know, have a great career like a Josh Jacobs or somebody of that nature. So I think, you know, in the end, how much do the schools pay attention to the five-star plus? I mean, it's a nice sort of feather in their cap when they say they recruited a five-star plus, but the truth is they want the guy that they know is the baller and is going to help them win a championship.
Once again, Manny Navarro from The Athletic. You can go follow him, Manny_Navarro. He's also the host of the Wide Right podcast. I actually like that. I like that. I'm going to have to tap into that because, you know, I don't like Florida State either, so that's perfect for me. Right. I would like to see the Miami-Notre Dame rivalry, like, fire back up, though.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, I think that's a part of college football history that people certainly enjoyed, especially me growing up here in South Florida in the late 80s and going to the Orange Bowl as a youngin, watching those games and just the classic battles. But really, I mean, I think college football needs Miami and Florida State to be among those playoff teams again. It just TV eyes, everybody in the country wants to watch those teams play. You look at the TV ratings when they hook up, it's great. So I would love to see that in the years ahead for sure.
Yeah, Florida State, most people have them top 10 this year, some top 5 going into the season. How long before Mario Cristobal gets things back rolling?
Well, I mean – one thing people, when they talk about Miami, they don't realize, but, you know, the number of first-round picks and second-round picks and third-round picks, those guys, those numbers have really dwindled here the last few years. And part of the reason Mario Cristobal is here is because he's an excellent recruiter. He can really connect with kids and does a good job. Aside from all the NIL, he knows what he's doing in terms of identifying players. And so I think it's going to probably take two or three recruiting cycles before Miami is probably a legitimate contender for an ACC championship to get into the playoff. But that could be, you know, at the end of this coming season where you start to see Miami turning a corner, you know, going into 2024, where maybe you're saying, okay, this is a legitimate top 25 team, not a team that just gets ranked in the preseason and falls out.
Once again, Manny Navarro from The Athletic, we appreciate you joining us today, man. Have a great day, and we'll check in with you sometime closer to the season.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Absolutely. That was Manny Navarro from The Athletic. Follow him, Manny_Navarro, host of the Wide Right podcast. Left, you know, his point about the wide receiver position, man, that was, he's spot on with that. Like, yo, quarterback is one thing, but Ohio State has found a niche with that wide receiver position, and it allows them to constantly, consistently put forth an explosive offense.
That's right. That's right.
Man.
We'll see what our receivers do this year.
Well, you know, you kind of trashed them and said they were going to get trounced when they come to South Bend. So, yo, by the way, I'm sorry for not asking, man. You cool? Did you feel that 4.2?
Oh, it was supposed to be hurt. California's so big, man. Something can happen out here. Y'all think it happened down the street, and I'm so far from it, I guess.
Yeah, you know, baby girl hit me early in the morning, was like, yo, that 4.2 just hit Malibu. And it was kind of scary for the first time. I was like, all right.
Yeah, I'm long ways away.
Hey, I guess you're right. Malibu was the epicenter, so.
Yeah.
You didn't even feel a tremor or anything, huh?
Listen, I'm by the water.
Lucky Lefty Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, YouTube channel as well, Lucky Lefty Podcast. Go ahead, subscribe, hit that like button, share, and the notification bell. Every time we go live or post something, you'll know it's a Lucky Lefty Podcast. We spin it different. Left, coming up, we're going to talk a little Justin Scott, but then we're going to give you an opportunity to go into the mind of Coach Leak and give us the offseason plans for every quarterback on the Notre Dame roster. It's the Lucky Lefty Podcast. Let's go.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.